kind of
millions upon millions going on.
Sue Baker. Before we get on to business,
Sue did the Sunset Road last week, so she won't be able to come back.
It's a little bit of a little bit.
They are on recording what they get. Go.
It's the little road from here and the Wild Highway Sewer project that we decided to
Sunset.
Today's the last day that the people paving around here were in there paving. We have yet to get all of the right of way. We have all the right of way except for one road. That party is upset because they don't have their load of dirt that they promised. The Cyclone Fence Company is in the area working with somebody else. Yard. They will get their load of dirt. If we pave today, we will not be infringing on any property that's not permitted.
I would be in favor of us moving forward. I said that on the sewer board or sewer construction meeting yesterday and heard what you just said. They're going to try to get the dirt over there today, and like I said, the fence.
They won't sign it right away until my suggestion is we pay today and save ourselves $2,000.
Not necessarily a lot to see.
35 foot. It's a 35 foot.
We can't really.
You could. Under administration. You want to talk about administration?
He's recording.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call our meeting to order. We're already screaming, and we do have a bit of an emergency with what Frank's asking about because of the timing of the asphalt company, so we need to give an answer. I've already kind of shared mine, I believe.
Let me say it like this. Have they, and Randy would know more, have they kind of obligated themselves that if we do the deal, they'll sign the easement?
That's all the, and she's just kind of frankly, she's wanting her stuff done,
They'll sign the easement for a 40-foot road if that's done.
That's what we've been told.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. This is a sewer question. Larry Schneider on the hook to do those two items?
Yes. It's on a punch list.
So the thing is, if he doesn't do it, we can always do a deduct from the withheld. So it's going to get done no matter what.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Then let's go ahead and pay.
She has told Randy that we can do that. Well, I'm fine because we can do a lot of things with $2,000.
Right. Let's go ahead and do it. I'm saying go ahead and move forward with paving within what we're talking about right now.
Okay.
And that's me. And Chuck, I think, just said the same thing.
Ditto. I'm for it.
And Dan, I'm thinking. Okay.
The meeting yesterday was taped like they always do the construction meetings, and they've clearly said they're going to put the dirt in and they're working on the fence. Carnahan's there, blah, blah, blah. So.
I'm fine with it, but I want to make sure that she knows that she's going to sign the easement and that we're going to end up with a 40-foot. I don't want to get away from that. So.
Right. And that's our problem. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to call them right now. We're going to start out with Boys Camp.
That's what we have scheduled, is Boys Camp. So. Yep. Now, just reminding you, we have a 9 o'clock hard stop.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
That's what we were told. So we just kind of, however you all want to proceed, if you want me to talk a little bit about the project, or however this needs to run. It's a little bit unusual, a little different kind of arrangement for us, so we just kind of... that's you all. This is your meeting right now.
Why don't you tell us your concerns, and then we'll go from there.
Let me announce first who we have here for those listening. We've got the three county commissioners, Travis Meyer with HDR, Frank Preston, Jeffrey Corman, and Ann Black, who's our grant person on this project. and about Boys Camp Road and the grant funding that we've received and how we're going to move forward.
Got a question for Travis. Now, you've already told us, but there's been, as they say, water under the bridge since then. How high is this raising that particular deal?
Well,
I went down there and looked. And
the original estimates, we said 6 feet, but that'll be, once we kind of do the full drainage study, figure out it may be less than that. I mean, that was kind of our initial estimate, but that's based on looking at topo and FEMA's flood maps and things like that. It hadn't been studied in depth. So
okay.
Change some.
All right. At the highest level that we had it, it was probably 18 inches to 2 feet over that road. And there was still vehicles trying to cross it because it wasn't running water, it's backup water. It backs up from the lake and fills that hole. I only have one concern, and the fact that we were tied in with a $250 or $250,000, the county seems to be on the hook for the $250,000 no matter what. Well, I thought this was a 50-50 match, and so I can't, and nothing against Travis and them, but I can't see that this project is a $500,000 project. That's my only concern. And if it's a $350,000 project, then we get $150,000 on the grant, and we're $100,000, and we're hooked for the $250,000 still yet, right?
No, not necessarily. I think Andy Papin, our program manager, there's an email of his reply to that question that.
Let me see if I find it real quick. I don't know if I'll get my hands on that quick enough. But what he said was all right, here's what he said. It's not formally a 50-50 matching grant. That was never the intent. That's not the way we commonly operate. We have no. Our matching funds are based on capacity, and depending on the kind of project it is, what's available, and that sort of thing. This is kind of a discretionary thing. He just said dollars just happened to work out that way because our maximum was $250,000, and there was about $500,000 cost estimate for the work, so it just came out like that. He said if project bids come in lower than the available funding. The normal expectation is that the locals would use the funds they pledged and reduce the amount of CDBG on the project. However, if the bids come in significantly lower, we're certainly open to discussing a percentage-based reduction in both funding sources, local and CDBG. So, you know, if we had $50,000 on the table there from good bids after everything's done, you know, and after we know exactly what's going to be needed to accomplish a successful project in everyone's eyes, then if there's $50,000 left over, you could deobligate $25,000 from us, and you would be accountable for a reduction of $25,000 in the matching funds, and come out it that way, kind of a 50-50. We'd share the cost savings.
That's all I want to hear. That takes my concerns out of the picture. If you're willing to do something like that, that would be like if it come in and the whole project come in bid at $350,000. And you guys had $100,000, and we had $250,000. Then you're talking about that we might there'll be a negotiation on the $250,000. Is that right?
Basically.
Yeah. Right. Basically. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd just be what we want to do is let me get to see a funding approval again here. We $250,000 and $249,988. By the way, the estimates came out. Now remember, the county. would be responsible for the entire cost of the engineering contract. So that's, I don't know if that would be reduced. Other professional services of $40,300, I'm not exactly sure what that covered, but that would probably be a contracted amount regardless of how the bids went. $12,238 would be a fixed amount for administration. So, but the flexible amount would be the $148,650, that'd be local cash under the street construction line item.
you know, that could be reduced proportionately to what we would be reduced by in that sense. And again, we'd split the difference on the cost savings. I think there would be an incentive there then to bring the project in within budget and save what could be saved and so on there. The only thing I know we would want to do is not necessarily do that, make that decision and take that money out of the budget until the work was actually done. Yeah. Even after it's bid, doesn't mean, you know, you don't know exactly what you're going to run into as far as right. Sub-base and other considerations, the floodplain and so on. There are some potential unknowns here in fill, where you get your fill from, and maybe and so on. I don't know exactly on all that. But.
And this grant came in under the disaster money,
right.
And if there was a big hurry to get it in, mm-hmm. and Travis even said the cost estimates were probably a little high, so that's where all this came into play.
Travis, do you think you guys or do you guys have any flexibility on your administrative cost if this thing comes in? I mean,
the inspection cost, I think so. Yeah, the inspection, definitely. The design part, I mean.
Right, I know, but I mean, if there's any flexibility at all that you guys could work with us on this, I don't have any problem if everybody's trying to work together on this project as far as making it work for the citizens of the county and also applying the grant money in a flexible form if after the project's done. Like you said, we may get down there and the sub base be totally, because we've run into that before, may need extra sub base and different things. So you basically said what my concerns were right off the bat.
I mean, one of the concerns that we had talked about prior in weeks prior was the commitment that we're making toward out of the road and bridge, basically savings account for this project. But we've also got three other projects on the hook with the Tiger II grant,
right.
Or excuse me, two with the Tiger II and one with the MoDOT cost share. And we know that we don't want to spend more than a total of $800,000 of that savings account. And so we're trying to make that money stretch as far as possible and get as much infrastructure improved as possible. And so the concern we had was we're used to or accustomed to doing cost shares. So 50% cost share is a normal thing for us to think about in MoDOT.
Sure.
I know the CDBG is obviously operates different. And it just happened to come out at $500,000. Now, we're hoping this project, you know, is $350,000, $400,000, and it's hard to say at this point, but my biggest concern is we come in at $400,000 and Taney County still picks up $250,000 of it, and then all of a sudden it looks a little concerning. I mean, I can just imagine the phone call we would get about what about the 50-50 cost share and things like that. And since this is so, I guess it's not a normal process, and there's nothing really in writing that says it's, you know, we're going to work it out at the end, that's why I think we asked Travis to get back involved with everybody, because we're just trying to get our hands around, you know, what is that, how the money's going to flow. Because the project's a good, I think it's a great project. I think it's a needed project. But the concern was, you know, if it does come in, yeah, $350,000, $400,000.
I think your email, though, settles that. Even though it's not a definite, I think the thing that we can go back to is the email that you were sent that
right. I mean, you know, we just were stating our common policy. I suppose it could be something more formalized, but as of right now, we technically don't have a grant yet that I know of, because we don't have a signed funding approval.
Right.
So we kind of was kind of anticipating, you know, doing that process first. I'm sure that we could put something in writing to the commissioners that would spell out Andy's email in a more formalized fashion, if you'd like me to do that once we have the funding approval.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, a letter, and it doesn't have to be so formal. I mean, a letter of intent or a letter of just saying we're open to it. Something that, you know, that we at least say, you know, we had a conversation and all the parties on this date said we're open to looking at how the funds come out is all I'm looking for. I mean,
yeah, that's fine.
I heard that we had that originally before this meeting, that from Travis. I thought that's what was said, that
verbal, what he said.
And so you're satisfied with that now without, it, I mean, because...
In writing.
I'm hearing two things.
I'm satisfied with in writing.
Now, basically, they won't send that to you until after they receive the funding approval.
But, yeah, we do want to be... We'd rather get that funding approval first, make it official that we've got a project. As okay. Right now, we technically don't yet.
Okay.
I'm going to make a motion for approval.
To sign the funding grant, then?
Yeah.
I'll second it. One more discussion. I'd like to hear from Frank and thoughts on... You're good with everything, Frank?
Clarification that this project will go out to bid. Mm-hmm. That's what we discussed in the past. And then with the engineering firm, typically they have... common costs are 12 to 15% of their services. If they can, if the project comes in at 300 or 350, if they're and right now our estimated costs are based on the $500,000 figure. If they're, and I think Travis alluded to that earlier, if their engineering other than design costs could correlate with the reduction in price, then I think I'm okay with it based on all the other projects that we have that we are currently considering for our trust fund monies.
So, put words in your mouth, we really don't have the staff to do the project ourselves. Is that why we're going out to bid?
I have several different reasons. One being the bypass road may be a challenge, and we may run it. To me, the biggest challenge of the project is the bypass road. And then there's some environmental concerns that I would rather have that liability on someone else than the county.
Because they're working so close to the county commons?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just out, I mean, we did the call the Bluff Road out here, which is right on the creek. Everything went well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just question in the...
I don't question our ability to do the project. I just think there's some unknowns and challenges that it'd be better for us not to have the liability on our back.
Okay. Let me ask you a follow-up question. How much are we talking, if we did do it ourselves, are we talking about the project coming down too? What's your thoughts on that?
That'd be a hard one without throwing a pencil to it. We don't pay prevailing wages.
Right.
And labor. But the haul and the fill and the hard product would be the same. So it would be a reduction in the labor costs.
Is that where we'd save most of the money?
Most of the money would be saved in labor.
Is this a discussion that we could have later? I mean, we don't. Does it matter?
I think it does in the application.
The funding approval, it doesn't show any in-kind match. It's just a cash match.
So. Well, true. There was no in-kind, you know, pledge. There's none required to be pledged, like it might be or expected to be on a competitive grant. That would gain you some points. We didn't worry about those kinds of things. If you choose to do labor, as we call force account, in that sense, I don't think we have a problem with that and us paying for materials and those kinds of things. We don't want to pay for any professional services on this project if we can help it, though. See, so that limits us to paying for materials. If materials are only $100,000. That'd be about all we could have our grant would cover.
Well, that answers the question.
You're shifting the balance of weight to that, and timeliness is important too.
Sure,
to be fine,
I see.
We're concerned about that. This is emergency funding.
Yeah,
okay. I sealed that up. Okay,
that did seal that. Thank you.
Now the bidding, of course, you know, you can. We encourage designing it in such a way that alternates are maximized because you can't negotiate with a bidder under our projects there. You have to lay out if there are certain alternates that can be taken, you spell those out in order and that sort of thing and try to exercise those if you need to bring the project down within budget and still get what you want out of it, what you need out of it. But otherwise, the bids are going to reflect, you know, the costs that are built into the system there with prevailing wage and those kinds of factors, bonding and so forth, it will, I guess, drive up the cost of the project. But as I say, we're limited on what we could provide funding for otherwise. So, I think it would get you a timely project probably a lot quicker and save county resources for other needs is what I would recommend. So.
Would an alternate be how much we raise it?
If four it was foot made or that six way, foot? I would guess if it... Yeah, I don't know, but 6 feet sounds like a lot of fill, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'd probably adjust that once we do the flood study, and then we can shorten how far we're actually taking it out to.
As I look at it, I think the project can be shortened from where the, you know, we had extremely high water when we were having this major problem.
Right.
And like I said, it's the distance that the water comes up is quite a distance for the road. But as it gets to the upper side, the bluff side, it might not be 6 inches to a foot for 150 to 200 feet, I mean, of this project. And so raising the entire project to 6 feet, you know, might be something that we'd look at. If we were doing it ourselves, we would, but I mean, this is a grant, so.
With the way we had it laid out, it was at the maximum point, it was 6 feet. And I mean, if you look at it from a cross section, I guess it's like a triangle, you know, it just feathers back in. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's only 6 feet, you know, in one spot.
Right.
Deepest, but I mean, even that can be lower, and that would shrink it up because you wouldn't have to feather it as far. I mean, we'll look at all that. But
you probably wouldn't want to design in a steep hillside, and you'd have to cinder and salt every time you turn around either. I guess in that sense, I don't know. You got to also think about drainage, you know, issues around it, where that water is going to go. If a road is up here now, and that water hits and goes like this, then it's got to go somewhere else, and you got to factor that in. I'm not familiar with the layout enough. I was going to drive through there on my way out after a while.
Right now, I think it's got like 2, 3, 24 or 36 inch tin whistles,
something like that,
in there, and there needs to be a box culvert type situation that lets the water flow back through. It's not the water that's come down. It comes down at all. I mean, that's not a problem. It's the backup containing Como that pushes that water up to the level.
Well, and to what you're saying, that's basically why the engineering fees on this are higher, is because what you're basically saying there is that's part of the Corps' floodplain, and we're putting fill into their floodplain, which is why there's going to be so many hoops to jump through, because you're reducing their flooding capacity, basically. So you got to reaccount for that somewhere else, and that's the challenge of the whole project to me, is just the permitting side of it. Once we get all the permits in place, building the job's not really that difficult.
Okay, we have a motion and a second?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other discussion? Ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried.
So, you, Travis, you have what you need then?
We have the funding approval. The next step, I guess, once you guys get that sent in at some point, we'll have to come back and discuss contracts again with us and with Ann.
I brought mine.
Okay.
I know Bob was fine with ours. I remember last time we looked at hers, there were a couple spots where she referenced the city instead of the county.
There's Bob right there. So,
Travis, when you do yours, I mean, when you put this thing out for bid, what they said, I would put it in the bid specs that alternates are very limited. And that's what you said a while ago, that cut down on the possibilities of them trying to raise or lower costs through no change orders, or change orders be very limited.
Well, we encourage, you know, like to see those limited as much as possible because of the competitiveness of the bidding, that if you, you know, change a project in a significant way that could have been anticipated before, that's really not fair to other bidders. Then that might have had a different outcome there. We customarily want alternates to be used to the maximum extent, and then change orders just be when you find conditions in the field that are common sense that necessitate it. Mm-hmm. But I would say that, I mean, what you can't do is design it. What we can't do is bid it out for a 6 foot elevation, you know, feathered and so on, and that slope. Bids are a little bit high. The contractor says, you know, if you can take a foot off of that, if you can live with a 5 foot deal, I can do it for you for $40,000 less or whatever. That all sounds good, but that's negotiation. We can't do that.
Yeah.
So
So.
A lot of it's going to depend on what the Corps says.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Mm-hmm. Could the Corps come back and say they need it 7 foot?
They could, but I'd be shocked.
Okay.
If anything, they're going to want it lower to
okay.
reduce what we're filling in there. So.
All right.
But if any alternates were to be discussed, then all bidders, potential bidders, would bid on those alternates also.
What we'll try to do is we'll set it up, and I'm not exactly sure how that'll be yet until we look at it, but as, okay, here's what you're bidding on, or as an alternate, we might do this, or as an alternate, we might do this, and then those alternates are included in the bid. But if you don't accept the or don't take the alternates, then it's just that base bid. So you're kind of putting all the change orders up front to get costs on them, and then you can kind of pick and choose what we do with it. But yeah, I'm not sure what all those options will be yet. But
that's what you were saying, Jeff.
Right, right. That's how we encourage it. Because like you said, that's a good way of looking at it. And the change orders, in a sense, are and just your alternate choices are in there up front. What you know the Corps will accept. We would like to know what the Corps wants, you know, before we bid this out, too. Want to have surprises come at us later.
Well, we'll probably put something in there for unsuitable subgrade so we get a unit price in the bid on that, too, so that's not a negotiated price later. I mean, the quantity may have to change depending on what we run into, but at least we'll have that set figure in there.
It's going to take you some time to get through that eight-step flood environmental, too.
Yeah. I say we're a ways off for bidding. It's going to be a while, to be honest with you.
Ann can tell you more about the environmental. I wasn't planning to go through all the details of the grant administration that the letter talks about, but it would show you that environmental is a key issue with our grants and so on. It's gotten to be a bigger and bigger part of a kind of CDBG project. It seems like all the time it's a focus of HUD, one of their priorities right now on infrastructure projects. So we have to go through a pretty intensive process of evaluating all the potential implications of changes out there, and as it would affect the lake, and as it would affect other areas around it, and so forth, and the permitting and the floodplain process.
Travis is going to do most of the floodplain stuff, and I'm going to do everything else. But we actually have to write the Indian Nation that used to habitat this area to get their clearance. I mean, it's you wouldn't believe what's involved in the environmental assessment. Just a suggestion, I would say that you need to get that funding approval signed and sent in, and then look at Travis and my contract from there. If I know that you're going to go ahead and sign that funding approval, I will go ahead and get started on the environmental. To be perfectly honest, I've done some of it already.
Right.
So we can move forward from there. I can't complete the environmental until you get permission from the Army Corps of Corps Engineers.
Okay, the funding approval is what we voted on.
Uh-huh.
And so are we ready to sign that? Has that been reviewed?
Bob, I think, has reviewed the funding letter.
Reviewed it, and it was to your office. I don't know what all.
Nikki's probably have it upstairs. I can see
where it is. But
I think from just recapping, I think Bob has reviewed the funding letter, and he's reviewed your contract, and he had a few questions about your contract.
Yeah.
I think is what Bob, and that's where it sits.
So if we verify with Bob that he's reviewed it,
mm-hmm.
then we're ready to sign it,
mm-hmm.
and we can. There's Bob right there. Do you remember, I know you got lots of things on your mind, funding approval on this Boys Camp project? Do you remember, have you reviewed that for us?
I reviewed all this stuff at one point, and I was fine with it.
There hadn't been any changes, Travis, is that
not
correct?
Not to the funding approval, no.
Okay. So everybody's ready for us to sign that, and that gets the other ball, or gets that
starts that thing, and then we just got to work on your contract and Black's contract.
Okay.
That's the only one. I think we had some wording questions. I think you've looked at the contract for HDR.
Can I make some changes? Is that right?
Well, the R's, you were fine with the R's. The third, there were a couple minor things. But.
And there's a couple minor things on mine, and I changed everything except the scope of services, and it still says the city. I'll send it down by the county. I'm so used to working with cities all the time instead of counties.
Well, that was my question. Since she's here today, I didn't know if you guys wanted to address any of her contract issues.
I think it was mostly wording. I think it was.
Yeah, was it one of the things, now that you say it, I remembered it said city instead of county.
Yeah, and I changed it in every place and went back and did it basically on the engineer's contract so that
It was the city versus county wording, and then we needed to change her signature page to include the auditor and clerk.
And I did all of that. So
that was the only comment.
Cross out city and put county and then be done with it.
All right, how about a motion to sign those two contracts with HDR and Ann Black after that signature page in the city and county are corrected?
I make that motion with the approval of the attorney, which has already taken place.
Okay, second. Jim, you got the wording appropriately on that? That's for both ANS and HDR.
Okay. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, so we've got a funding approval. We'll sign and...
And you can send that in. It has to be sealed, you know, and then you send that in to us. We send you back a copy after it's executed by the state and so on. And then you got yourself a full-fledged grant commitment, from us. And then we'll send out that letter that describes the arrangement on the cost, potential cost sharing, if necessary, to make it formalized, that we would be willing to split what costs that we can. There, the 50-50 savings on construction costs, if it comes down to that, and hopefully we will save some money.
Hopefully.
Bidders should still be pretty hungry. 5 years ago, it would have been a little different story down here.
Well, I think this is where we're waiting on the court. I mean, the court, if they say 4 feet, I mean, raise the road 4 feet, that'll save us some money, too. I mean, there's a lot of factors, so.
And
it's a good project, though. It needs to be addressed.
And I want to address appreciation that I have for you guys coming down here this morning and addressing those issues, because we had concerns after it, that we were excited about getting the grant, but then we were kind of dampened by the possibility that we might be hung on one figure, and that was our main concern. So it'd be savings to everybody. So,
we want to do that when we can. These were an odd situation. Some of these grants, we got a lot of money from the federal government, more than actually had been expected. We knew there were a lot of needs out there, but we didn't know what they were necessarily. But we had a tight time frame to try to find that out, and so a lot of these grants were sent in with very limited information. Decisions had to be made on very limited information and kind of worked out after the fact in some cases. Just as an example, since we have some time here, some of the things that's commonly in our applications that we don't yet have, and Ann can sharpstop all this kind of stuff as we go along, and be like a county's fair housing policy and policy on the prohibiting use of excessive force by law enforcement personnel, and anti-lobbying certification, different things like that that are commonly in the applications that we get before we even make.
I think I've already addressed those and sent them to Michelle.
Yeah. Did you? I hadn't seen them yet.
I said I'd already been working on it. So.
Well, I guess you have. Okay, that's great. You know, those are just some of the things. This letter, you can go through this letter later on, but and some things are of course, moved points are not applicable to this project because this is kind of a boilerplate thing, but it does talk about how these projects operate as far as the funding coming into the county. There's some procedures, and we'll work with that on you as far as how we have to kind of separate out the CDBG funding from other county revenues and disperse it in the same way. A county of this size, that's, you know, there's some internal processes they probably have already, or ways they receive funding from the state that
basically what he's saying with the funds is that there has to be a separate, and we've done this before on other block grants for the sewer project, mm-hmm. and so forth. But there has to be a separate account set up for CDBG funds only. It has to be a non-interest-bearing account. What will happen is up until this year, the money would go into your general funds, and then you transfer it over and write it out of that account. They've now changed that policy, and the funds will go directly into that account. You have 5 days to get it out. So a project this size, we're probably only going to do two or three at the most, huge amounts
of draws.
Yeah, because you know, all of the CDBG money is tied up into construction.
And that's a new policy, separate accounts, all a new, it's a new process?
Up until this year, the money, the Department of Revenue would only let you have one account where all of your sales tax money, everything came into that account. They would send you an email. You had to transfer that out into the CDBG account and write it out. It's gotten a little simpler this year, where the money will go directly into the block grant account, and then you write it directly out. Gotcha. It saves a lot of procedures.
So we just make sure you talk with the treasurer and the auditor to make sure we get all those accounts set up.
When we get to that point,
once
the funding approval gets in and everything, then we'll work on getting those set up.
But the state for a while was not allowing new vendor numbers to be created because those kind of got out of control. There's so many funds from so many sources, and they had money going back and forth, and the auditors couldn't keep track. I mean, it was a real recipe for trouble. And so they limited that. But apparently now that's changed again there to where you can set up a separate vendor account for this funding to be wired in that would be separate from gas tax money and things like that. And that makes it more simple on the internal processing, but we just have to track the CDBG funds separately, keep the records separate. The records have to be retained for 5 years after grant closeout, which is longer than any other time frame or any other programs that most people are aware of as far as hard copy records needing to be retained right here. And be part of the public record. You know, when we're ready to close it out at the end, you have to have another public hearing, and there's some procedures that's required of that. You have to take activity each year to further fair housing and address identified impediments to fair housing choice. And Ann, again, is a person to take you into through that process to provide some of the materials that we make available and recommend that our grantees consider doing to make that meaningful. You know, it does have relevance, but it is a string attached to HUD funding that you have to go through no matter what kind of project you're doing. We don't need any easements or any right-of-way. Do we have everything?
We're going to need some easements, yeah.
You are, okay.
And you have to follow the uniform act then.
See, okay. We didn't have acquisition identified on here as a line item, see.
So. Well, it's just going to be a temporary across the corridor to build this bypass road. Permanent, I don't think we're going to need any, but we may need a temporary easement.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, right-of-way footprint. If it was narrow and you needed one to have more right-of-way for your ditching and so forth there, then if you had to obtain any property, transfer any title at all, then we have to follow the Federal Uniform Act in that process, and people have to have the opportunity to receive fair market value and those kinds of things, private property owners and that sort of thing. And so we'll deal with that if it's necessary. Temporary easements are not subject to the Uniform Act.
Yeah, I think that's all we're going to need. And the property along both sides is owned by Empire District Electric, who owns Lake Taneycoma, basically. So
okay,
we work with them a lot. I'm not real concerned about it, even if we need to get something from them. I think it's doable.
Are there other details we need to work out right now? If not, we probably ought to move on to another meeting.
Okay. No, we kind of mentioned labor standards, and there's procedures and requirements there on prevailing wage, but I think your best bet is to try to bid this out to a private contractor and any subs that they bring in. They may not even use subs on something like this if they've got all the equipment they need. And so forth. And when it's all done, you know, we'll have a closeout monitoring. I'll come down and go through the paperwork and see the results of the project, you know, physically. But otherwise, of course, you know, I guess we're better suited to do the paperwork on the thing there. And you know, there's a whole set of closeout reports that Ann would help you fill out and send in to us when the time comes. And then the county is under audit requirements for the funding that would tie in with the other requirements you have for a county of your classification. And you know, so but keep that in mind that this, you know, may trigger a single audit, depending on how it's done. You know, it may trigger some audit requirements on the back end. You know, that may have a cost involved, and we have no money for audit. So that's one thing I kind of wanted to bring up to keep that in mind. Are you first class county?
Yes, we are.
I don't know exactly how that all reads there. I think you have to have, you know, outside audits and that sort of thing.
We do anyway, yeah.
And you probably do because of the amount of activity you have here.
Right.
You know, some of the small counties that suddenly get a big influx of federal money for one kind of project like this, that suddenly throws them into a different class.
We do outside audits every year.
Yeah,
Some counties that are small, you know, this will suddenly trigger the need for an outside, what we call single audit of all county funding and that sort of thing, and that can cause some surprise there, you know, some consternation, several thousand dollars that they hadn't planned on spending.
Right.
So on the back end, so I just want to make mention of that.
Okay.
But that's really it in a nutshell. We mentioned a while ago about easements. If there are any permanent easements needed, that the Federal Uniform Act, Relocation Act processes would have to be followed with property owners. Even Empire Electric is a private entity, I guess, in that sense, that would need to be have the same rights under the Uniform Act. Hopefully they donate any property, small amounts that were needed. Temporary easements would not be subject to the Uniform Act.
Jeff, thank you for coming. And
thank you. All. I've got cards. I'll give you real quick. I forgot that this morning. I was handing out.
No problem.
And we'll get out of your way.
All right.
You got a lot else going on.
Plenty of stuff to handle today.
Well,
thank you.
I appreciate your time. Yeah.
Thank you, Ann.
Well, that's all right. sometimes it's not bad to be. People don't know who that is. Get the newspaper, but whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna run down there. I gotta run down to Rockaway Beach anyway, and kind of just take a look at what we're doing down there.
All right,
yeah,
good.
With the water system project that they're working on now, they're right in the middle of reconstruction. Mm-hmm. I think it's an easy one up there, or whatever that is.
Yeah. Yep, I got one up there. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
What
about the funding approval? Do you get that? Or?
Right.
Thank you, sir. I'll send it in. So do we do that, or we need to get through you, or I get everything?
Okay. Right. Understood. Yeah.
We'll move. And I think what I did, since that's I've seen that. My question back to them was, where? I don't. It's such a close back. There's no detail of where. There's no landmark. What portion is the road? It's a long road. The whole road? Is that just a zoomed in road?
Understood.
This is fine. This is part of a larger map.
Yeah. It's like we're missing. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, this doesn't adequately describe.
No.
Wow.
We need to keep on jumping.
I think we do. If Frank's got anything on natural gas, or I need to recess one of the two.
I think that's fairly quick, but maybe I'm wrong.
We got one more
mm-hmm.
natural gas.
Hang on.
Thank you, Jeff.
And thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
I'm going to show you the question I have with this whole thing, and then we can figure out what we're going to do.
Okay. We're moving on to our Southwest Missouri Natural Gas.
So the document that was submitted to us for review has a basically an elevation or a top view of Sycamore Church Road. However, it doesn't tell us where on Sycamore Church Road the crossing is taking place, and there's actually no legal description attached with this picture. So once again, I haven't seen, that was a question I sent back to SMNG, which was, where exactly on Sycamore Church Road are we talking, and do we have a legal description? Because if I'm not mistaken, this easement that we're given, we're going to have some sort of official document.
And I had this discussion with Frank, and he wasn't satisfied with the description. And we needed, that was part of the problem with Branson as well. And we needed a more detailed description of what this easement is, something that would actually create an easement that has a description. And to date, and I may be wrong, I seem to be corrected, I haven't received anything new, have I?
I have not either.
I haven't. I mean, I sent the request back too.
Okay, and so after the request was sent back, you got this here, right?
We all got copies of this in our box.
I know, yeah. But you got this after the request was sent back with no definite location for easement. Uh-huh. It would be totally ridiculous for us to grant an easement where we don't have any idea where it's crossing the
right.
road.
Sycamore Church Road is a long road.
I don't think we can grant a blanket easement. No. Yeah. This does not describe an easement. This is not specific enough to be an easement.
If I could pipe in real quick.
Yeah.
After I talked about that in our Monday morning meeting, I had called together a quick meeting with the gas company representative, Chris Pauly, and the city of Branson was invited, and also all other utilities in Taney County that are impacted by the gas line installation were invited. So we had about five or six of us in the room. We met for just under 2 hours, and we discussed the exact things that we're talking about right now. They wanted a blanket easement for the entire project throughout the Branson area. What we've nailed it down to is that we will... 90%+ of their work will be boring versus trenching, so there'll be some bore pits that are involved in the project. They are not aware of any trenching in the project that has to do within Taney County jurisdiction at this point in time. Their attachments A, B, C, whatever they may be, are nondescriptive. We ask for them to be more have a legal description, photograph of the area, so that we can have before and after evaluations of whether the restoration efforts were sufficient or not. And so they have not got back to us yet on any of the requests, and they are well aware that we will not be issuing any permits until our needs are met. And so the needs are location-specific, what their efforts will be, and in the permitting process, we have told them once we move forward, with a lesson that the city of Branson learned while they were also at the meeting, we discussed what our types of issues are you having, and one of the issues that they were having is Branson let them have a very large permit that covered several different neighborhoods. We are actually only going to give their permits, as we do in other places, one street per time per permit. And Randy will be intimately involved as a sort of a construction inspector to look at where the bore pit is and where the exit hole from the boring is. So they are well aware that we're watching this project with a fine-tooth comb, and that the reason they've stated things have been so unsuccessful and why the city of Branson has been upset is because in other jurisdictions that they work in the Midwest, they hardly have any requirements at all, and it appears they have a carte blanche or can go anywhere they want and do anything they want. I told them that wouldn't be the case here. They're used to working throughout the entire United States, and they're well aware of the requirements that most jurisdictions have. So I told them we would rather mirror what typically goes on when these requests are made by the county. And
let me interrupt that. Frank asked one question. You met with them. You asked for this information.
Yes.
What did they commit to you getting it back? When?
They did not commit to. Okay. We're holding.
Would you follow up with them again and
sure.
say, we can't approve it until we have a full legal
yep.
in writing and know specifically where on the map we're talking so we can at least make an informed decision?
But my understanding is blanket easements violate law, applicable law and regulations.
So we're not doing a blanket easement.
I put that in the form of a motion that they do, that they we're going to deny until they do this.
Is there any repercussions to denying this request? Bob, is there any if we deny this, should we deny it? Should we motion this? What should we do?
I don't think there's any requirement that you deny it. You haven't approved it, so it's not approved. But not taking action will not approve this.
Okay. So we don't need to deny
it. I mean, you could deny it, but you don't need to.
Okay. The only thing is, Bob, it might put them in gear to get a location. If we deny, they'll at least decide that they're going to try to. They're not going to come back with 15 places that they might put this thing.
At this point in time, it is denied.
Okay.
They've been told they will not receive a permit from Taney County until the information that we've requested has been given back to us.
And they're asking for action from you, and if you don't take the action, they don't have what they need. Now, if you want to light a fire under them, you can make whatever motion you want.
I don't see any need to light a fire. I mean, this has literally gone on for years.
It's their urgency, not us.
Right.
I don't see any.
And it's getting more urgent for them as they see that we're not budging on our part.
I would just ask you to go back to them and say, we can't approve it once again. Okay. We're not putting it back on the agenda until we have all the information.
Met with the commission. These are the consequences.
I won't go into the details.
That'd be fine.
Okay, any other commission stuff before we recess for BOE?
I don't have anything other than I want to go into, not today, I don't guess we can, but I want to go into executive session
You'll post it then?
We need to get it posted on to a certain extent, or place that we're aware of yesterday.
Okay.
We need a lot more than what they're
doing. All right, well, just, I guess Nikki will post it when you get a chance.
Anything else?
Yep.
Okay, we'll recess, and BOE will start here at 9 o'clock. Start, say, 10 o'clock. Thank you, Frank.
Frank?
Yes. Oh, yeah.